Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. For the next few minutes, I want to ask you an intensely personal question. Are you, as a child of God, doing the will that God has laid out for you? Do you know what the will of God is for your life? Do you, without any doubt, know this is God's will for me? Wow. Now, God has a will for each and every one of us. And it's not something nebulous. It's not just aspheric and nebulous. God says, I want you to know what I want you to do. In fact, the apostle said when he wrote to the church in Philippians, he said, I'm praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. But yet everywhere I go when I talk to people, do you know God's will for your life? They say, well, I hope so, kinda, somewhat, maybe I think so. And God says, that's not the standard. God says, I want you to know my will. I want you to be doing my will. Let's read what it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Many of you have these verses memorized, starting, if you would please, at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now please underline carefully the next words. And he shall direct thy path. Do you understand? God says, I'm giving you an absolute promise. If you trust in me with all your heart, and if you will stop leaning on your own understanding, I will, I promise you, direct your path. Here's a question for me to answer. Did God direct my path last week? Did God direct my path yesterday? Did he direct it today? This promise is in the ongoing continuum. That means God says, I'll do it and keep doing it. I will direct your path. Now, God either means that or his word's not trustworthy, but his word is trustworthy. He does mean it. I want you to write a few verses down. You don't have to turn to them in scripture, but I want you to write a few down. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. What a statement. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. God said, I will guide you continually. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That statement there, with mine eye, that was the most intimate of leadership that you could give, was to be instructing with the eye. Now, every mother understands that. Every mother knows every now and then she has to give her kids the eye. When you get, and how many of you ever had your parents give you the eye? Hold your hand up. Yeah, sure. That eye that said, when we get home, you're gonna get it, okay. God said, I will instruct thee with mine eye. Now, these are incredible promises of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I love Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Did God order your steps last week? Can you say, I know God's will, and he ordered my steps? Now, the devil's master strategy is incredibly simple. And boy, have I fallen prey to it. He just wants me to give it the best shot I can, do the best I can, and then just ask God to kick in and help me. God, I got a lot of experience, got a few talents, not too many, but a few. And with all this experience, God, I'm gonna do the very best I can. And God, what I need you to do is help me. And then we'll be this dynamic duo, you and me, God. And God says, I'm not interested in that partnership. I wanna order your steps, David. I want you to know my will for your life. And I want you to be filled with the knowledge of my will. What a statement. The first time I ever heard this came from Curtis Hudson, the statement of Stephen Olford, the great London preacher who then came to New York, pastored the gospel, Baptist gospel right there of Calvary Baptist in New York City. He said, God's great plan is for you to find, follow, and finish the will of God for your life. God wants you to find it, he wants you to follow it, and he wants you to finish it, filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, I have people come up to me all the time and say, Brother Gibbs, man, we're in a mess, and I don't know what to do. Can you give me some guidance? Well, God's got a will through everything that you will ever face. Do you know the will for you? I've sure made some foolish mistakes. How many of you here have ever done something stupid? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah. How many of you are thrilled everybody doesn't know about everything you've done stupid? Mercy. I have a sister. She's 18 months younger than I am. Great, great Christian lady. I can't take her anywhere with me because she knows way too much. Every time I take my sister, Brother Todd, somewhere, people come and say, tell me about your brother. And I say, she's busy right now. I got to get her out of here. I don't know what she's busy with, but she hasn't got time to talk about me. Oh, listen. God says, I want you to know my will. And not be just doing, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, Brother Gibbs, I try to seek his will in major stuff. No, that's not all your ways. God says, I want you day by day, moment by moment, to be in my will. I'm told from all of the people that they poll that the number one question that Christian counselors get all the time is, how can I know the will of God for my life? I see it in the Bible and I want it. And I know I've been bought with a price and I'm therefore to glorify God in my body and in my spirit. How do I know the will of God? Well, he just gave it to us here. And I want you to write two things down. How many of you want the will of God for your life? Oh, listen, this is critical. Here's number one. Please write this down. You want the will of God, you got to let God choose the way. You got to let God do the choosing. Brother Gibbs, but what if God wants something that I don't want? What if he wants me to go somewhere that I don't want to go? What if he wants me to do something I don't want to do? What if he wants me to give something I don't want to give? Brother Gibbs, couldn't I just play this little game with God? How about you just kind of show me, and then I'll let you know if I'm interested. Now, I just want to tell you, that makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense to me. But you will never know the will of God playing that game. In all thy ways acknowledge him, all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. I'll never forget, we were in Australia, and there was a lady there, a missionary, who was down with severe cancer, so unbelievably ill. She was in the services but could hardly hold her head up. And they said, we need to take an offering for this lady. And I thought, boy, amen. And boy, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, now, you give. I mean, I had a burden to give to her right then and there, direct my path. Well, I opened my wallet, and the only thing I had in my wallet was a $100 bill. And that's the money I had for the week. And I said, God, now we got a problem here. I want you to order my steps, but you messed up here. I can't give this. And I'm sitting there having a debate. So I came up with this idea. I'll wait while they're passing the plate, and I'll put the 100 in and take some out. I'll make change. And wouldn't you know, the pastor stood up and he said, I want everybody to walk up front and put it in the bucket. And I thought, it's a little something to do sleight of hand while they're passing it. But for me to... And I'm sitting there having a debate with God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you know the greatest problem for David Gibbs getting the will of God is David Gibbs? I want to lean on my own understanding. You say, Brother Gibbs, what'd you do with that 100? Something far worse. When I walked up there, I pretend to put it in, and I didn't. Now, don't you look at me like that. I faked it. And I thought, I'll get this changed, and then I'll give them some. And I mean, I walked back to my seat, and the Lord spoke. He said, the Lord said, well, you're up next to preach, huh? And he says, I suppose you want me to help you now. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I had in mind. Boy, I was crushed. What's the matter with me? You see, God wants to order all your steps every day. And he's promised to do it. But he says, I want you to understand, you can't figure it out. Write this verse down, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I don't know who the most brilliant man or woman here is, but I promise you, it's not in us to do our own steps. Our steps will lead us astray, and that's why we got to come to him and say, I trust you, I trust you. You lead. We sing this great song, where he leads me, I will follow. Follow on, follow on. Do we truly mean that? Yeah, but no. See, we have a trust problem. Now, you're trusting him to go to heaven, and boy, should you. Amen. And by the way, it is his will for you to be saved. Amen. 2 Peter said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But now that you're saved, he says, trust me. He loves you too much to have anything that's not in your best interest. You say, Brother Gibbs, what'd you do in that service? I stood up and repented. I told the people exactly what I did. I said, if you had any idea what I just did, you wouldn't let me near this podium. Because somehow David Gibbs got into it. God wants you to get into ordering the steps and you to be thinking of what you think. And he says, trust me in everything. Amen. Everything. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, what if it's, if you want to hear one thing today, his will is what's always best for you. He loves you too much to give you anything that's not in your best interest. Anything. I gave that precious lady that $100, and then I called my wife and I told her what I did. I said, honey, I shamed myself. I shamed. And by the way, when God puts something on your heart and we don't do it, we are shaming our Savior. I said, I shamed myself. I said, I want us to come up and send this lady $1,000. What's the matter with me, babe? God says, let me order all your steps. Let me make the decisions. Whoa. Write number two down. You got to let God choose the way. Number two, you got to let God confirm the way. You got to let God confirm it. Now, he does it three ways, and you know these three, but I want to tell you, you want to keep confirming the will of God, because someone will say, well, this is what I think God wants, and God says, I want to confirm that for you. I don't want you wondering. Here's number one. God always confirms his way with his word. He will never tell you to do anything that's contrary to the word of God. Never. The scripture says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God says, I want you to get into my word and let my word talk to you. And God says, that word will confirm what I want you to do. I was having devotions one morning, and of all things, it was on a passage of scripture about not stealing and how when people steal, God judges. And I thought, boy, that's good stuff. Now it's about 10 to 5 in the morning. I'm in a motel room. I'm packing up, getting ready to go. And I'm putting my suit in the suitcase, and I had a hanger for it. And the hanger self-destructed in my hand. Absolutely came apart in pieces. When you bang them around in suitcases a lot, and you know, I see these ads where they want to show you gorillas throwing luggage around. Gorillas can't do anything to it. Give it to the guys that load airplanes. They'll show you how to bust everything. They make gorillas cringe. My hand, they just broke in pieces. I mean, it's like 10 pieces. And oh no, and I gotta have a hanger. And I'm standing there and I look up and here's a perfect, wonderful hanger in the closet. Perfect. And there's a bunch of them there. More than they need. And so I thought, I'm gonna take one of those. And I started reaching for it. And like that, thou shalt not, what's the next word?
Steal.
I see he's talked to you too.
Help.
And I'm sitting there with my hand going back. I'm not stealing it, God. I'm just long-term borrowing it. Besides, I need it for your work. I need a hanger. And I'm thinking, this is stupid over a couple-dollar hanger. So I thought, I know what I'll do. There'll be somebody at the desk downstairs who could care less about anything. You know, who they hire to sit there all night. And I thought, I'll call him and tell him I need a hanger and I'll get his permission. After all, I just need somebody to say it's okay. So I called down, I said, hey, I'm loading up, getting ready to leave. And I broke my hanger and you got a bunch of good ones here and I want to take one of your hangers. Would that be okay? He paused a minute and he said, I can't give you permission to steal our stuff. I thought, what are you, the owner's kid or something? What is this? God's never going to give you permission to do, no matter how you push, to violate what his word commands you to do. You confirm things with his word. Now, I'm frightened. I'm frightened for two things. Number one, our people are sending obsessive amounts of time watching like Fox News and all these media outlets. And we think nothing of an hour in Fox News, but then we got no time to be in the word. Oh, listen, don't you ever remember, Fox News will change the message every 30 minutes, sometimes more often. The word of God is eternal. And it's where you get your direction. The second thing is all this social media. We're spending all this time on our iPhones and our iPads and all the social media outlets. The word is what confirms the will of God for us. So number one, he chooses, but then he uses his word to confirm. Right, the second way he confirms. He confirms it with his word. Number two, he confirms it with prayer. With prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. When's the last time you said, God, talk to me? Prayer is not just you talking to God, it's God talking to you. Whoa. I get so busy, I run to the Lord. Here's my list, and I'm working my way through, and it's me talking to him, me talking to him. And God says, I want to talk to you, and I will confirm things for you. Go back and look in the book, if you would, please, of Mark. I want you to mark something in your scriptures. Mark chapter 11. verse 22. These are scriptures that every child of God, I submit, should have memorized. Jesus with his followers and his disciples answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, not in your talent, not in your ability. Boy, the gravest problem is when we think, I don't really need God for this. I know how to do this. You know, Todd is an experienced radio man and video. I mean, but that's not where our trust is. Boy, walk in and out of as many courts as we have over these decades. You get a lot of experience. Your experience and your talent is nothing compared to you knowing the will of God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, verse 2, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We call that mountain-moving faith. Now, when he said move mountains, he wasn't talking about changing the topography. He wasn't talking about taking California mountains and sticking some of them in Florida. When they said mountain moving, that was the term of speech they used. We still use it today for things that are utterly, ridiculously impossible. If something was so impossible, there was just no way for it, we called it mountain moving. We still say, man, I'm under a mountain of worry right now, a mountain of debt. I got a mountain of health problems. We still use this word. And God says, when you got mountains to move, talk to me. Say unto this mountain. And here's his promise. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. When's the last time you said, God, show me your will? He wants you to know it. He wants you to be filled with it. He wants you to walk in it. But when's the last time you said, show me? Now, be careful that you don't play the little game. Show me and I'll let you know if I'm interested. That's not walking in it. He says, when I show you, I want you to do it. Wow. First of all, we confirm it by his word. Then we confirm it by prayer. Write the third thing down. We confirm it by wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, not knowledge, wisdom. Wisdom is different. Knowledge is knowing how to do things. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. You can have a masterful education and be an educated idiot. I deal with them all the time. I have a friend of mine. He's probably the most educated person I know. He has a law degree. He's a medical doctor. He's got 3 earned PhDs. He's got 3 master's degrees. He's got an MBA degree. And he's an educated idiot. He calls me and says, David, I got to talk to you. I don't know what to do. The fact you know things doesn't mean you know what to do. God says, I want you to have wisdom. But you got to acknowledge you lack. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But then he says, but let him ask in faith, believing, nothing wavering. Do you really believe God's going to answer that? Isn't it funny? You had enough faith to get saved. But he says, you got to ask in faith. Yeah, but I just don't know that I have enough. Now, catch this. He said, if you ask in faith, the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that'll be enough. A mustard seed was in that day the smallest seed known to man. It's still a microscopic seed. It takes 22 to 24,000 mustard seeds to weigh an ounce. They're next to nothing. And he said, do you have understanding how powerful faith is? The faith of a grain of mustard seed, ask in faith, believing, and God says, I'll confirm. I'll give it to you. Have you got the will of God? oh, listen, are you going to be able to show your kids how to have the will of God? Are they going to be able to say, Mom knows God's will? God orders her steps. Dad knows God's will. When you come to me and say, Brother Gibbs, we need legal help, am I a man that knows God's will? And do I walk in his steps? This is an exciting hour in which we live, but it's an hour when God's people better be sure they know the will of God as never before. Ooh. The man that we spoke of before, Stephen Olford, was a man when he came to New York. They said, it'll never work for you to come to New York. You speak with too much of an accent. You've got such a brogue in your English background, your Irish background. People can hardly understand you. And he said, but I'm telling you, God's directed me to come. And they said, but you got a great church back over in England. Stay there, stay there. And you see, I promise you, leaning on your own understanding, you'll come up with a reason to do something else. But he said, no. He said, I told God simply I'd do any time, anywhere, any cost. Is that you? Is that me? Now, little would he know, he'd have the greatest gospel outreach in New York City of anyone in history there. That he was the man who put the gospel on Times Square. He was the man who every week had thousands of people coming in to hear about Jesus Christ. But if he'd have leaned on his own understanding, he'd have never done it. It didn't make sense for him to do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It's time now for you and I to get our paths directed.